The contents of the lab report are meant for educational purposes only. They're not meant to be misconstrued as medical diagnosis or treatment advice. Today on the Lab Report, we're going to talk to Ian Craig,
exercise physiologist, nutritional therapist, author, and founder of the Center for Integrative Sports Nutrition.
I always like it when we get the guy.
We got the guy.
He's the guy.
The world of medicine can be challenging. Clinicians and patients are always looking for more options, more effective treatments, and in the end, more answers. Functional and integrative medicine focuses on addressing root causes of disease. Here at Genova Diagnostics, we've watched this field evolve and grow for over 35 years. We've not only adapted, we've led. Join us as we talk about functional medicine, laboratory testing, and optimizing health. Welcome to the Lab Report.
You are hyped this morning. Did you have extra coffee or something?
I did. Craig gave me an extra coffee, and now I'm like, woo, let's go.
There's those times you listen back, and you're like, why am I so loud? Hello!
Hi, Michael Chapman.
Hey, Patty Devers, how's it going?
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I had so much coffee this morning.
You yelped. I've never heard you yelp.
That just took 2 years off my life.
Sorry about that.
This is a podcast. It's called The Lab Report. It's brought to you by Genova Diagnostics. Thank you to Genova.
Thank you.
It is where we talk about things like functional medicine, integrative therapeutics, specialty lab testing, and so many other things,
right,
really.
Right, and if you're new, welcome. You picked a great week. It's going to be a good show today.
Oh, yeah.
If you are returning, thank you so much for all of your support. And maybe go to iTunes or Spotify and follow and rate and review and all the good stuff.
Yeah, man. That helps us. And if you want to help us, if you're a helping sort of person, if you're like the good Samaritan who does nice things for people, hit those follow buttons. Yeah. That does help us. Yeah. Leave us a review. Make an awesome review. Hey, we might even read it if it's awesome. Yep. Or if it's terrible, we'll probably read
it too.
We'll
read it either way.
Either way, we don't care. So if you have additional feedback, you can also send that feedback to podcast@gdx.net. That's our email address. And Patty, what else we got going on?
Well, if you're a consumer out there interested in trying out Genova's products yourself,
who's not a consumer out there?
I know. We all consume. We consume all day long. Head over to Genova Connect, which is connect.gdx.net. There you can access products yourself. And we can connect you with a healthcare provider somewhere in your area to help guide your healthcare.
Yes. And you can use this special code, TheLabReport20, to save 20% on any of the lab testing that you order through Genova Connect. Do we need a hashtag on that one when you do the promo code? Or is it just the lab report?
It's not 20.
Pound sign?
Nope.
Okay.
And if you're forgetting, it's in the show notes. So check the iTunes show notes and you'll see it there.
What are those?
That's the stuff I write every week.
Oh. Did you hear that, people? Patty writes the show notes herself.
I do.
You know, I come in this morning.
All right.
You're all hyped up. Right. You're on your walking pad.
Yeah.
Talking, caffeinating, over-caffeinating. Yep. And I walk in. After going to like 9 different birthday parties this weekend, kids' birthday parties, I might add. And you look at me and you're like, wow, what a ball of energy you are.
It's true. You have your head hung low, you're dragging your bags.
I have to remind you that it takes all types and that we have to counterbalance each other.
That's fair.
My low energy, or perhaps my stable energy, consistent energy, maybe even consistently slow.
What?
Perhaps.
Maybe.
It does help to counterbalance because there's two types. There's lots of types of people.
Right.
And like, imagine what it would be like if you were living with like 7 different Patties.
Can I point this out? I grew up with 3 sisters and I'm the quiet brooding one. I did grow up with a whole group of Patties and I was the quiet brooding one.
I'm not going to say anything because I know Barb will call me immediately.
Yes, she will.
So today we're talking to Ian Craig.
Yep.
And we've been looking forward to this for a long time. You know, he's been working with some other people, Dr. Warren Brown, on various things on our socials.
Yep.
And he's like, he started the whole athletic training performance and integrative medicine movement.
Yeah, and I think people sometimes forget that Genova's just not just available here in the United States. We are an international company with a big presence in London and in the UK, and that's kind of how we got connected with Ian Craig, because of his literally worldwide reputation, not just here in the US, and all the training he's done in the UK and worldwide. So,
not to mention a very successful middle distance runner in his day.
Correct.
And I'm sure probably currently.
Yeah.
Just not professionally.
I would bet. But he's also incredibly trained as a physiologist, exercise physiologist, nutritionist, author. He's written books. He's writing a textbook. I mean, you said it earlier. We got the guy.
Totally. Let's bring the guy on.
So, Michael.
Patty Devers.
Our friend Ian Craig is here all the way from Scotland today. And for those of you who are not familiar with the great Ian Craig, let me introduce you. Ian Craig is the founder of the Center for Integrative Sports Nutrition and course leader of their online postgraduate level courses. With his joint academic backgrounds in exercise physiology and nutritional therapy, and a long career as a British middle distance athlete and coach, he has been developing the concept of integrative sports nutrition for the past 20 years, a fast evolving discipline that considers both the health and performance of an athlete from an integrative health perspective. He is the co-author of Wholesome Nutrition with his natural chef wife, Rachel Jessen, and is currently co-writing the textbook of Integrative Sport and Exercise Nutrition with Professor Justin Roberts of the Anglia Ruskin University to be published by Routledge in 2025. Stay tuned. It's coming soon. Additionally, as co-founder of the Nutritional Institute, Ian is a clinical practitioner based in his native Scotland. His client base ranges from chronic health cases such as autoimmunity through recreational and elite athletes to sports and lifestyle-induced low-grade chronic fatigue syndrome. He gained his bachelor's degree in physiology and sports science from the University of Glasgow, his master's in exercise physiology from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and another bachelor's in nutritional therapy at the Center for Nutrition Education and Lifestyle Management, validated by Middlesex University in London. Ian is a fellow and professional member of the British Association for Applied Nutrition and Nutritional Therapy.
Awesome.
And with that, welcome to the
show.
Thank
you for
Ian Craig being here.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here. That was a mouthful for you at the start there, so well done.
That's the hardest part. As you know, you're a podcaster, Ian. It's a lot. Reading the long bio is where we always
It's a lot of pressure.
It is.
Well, let me start here. So, athletes are interesting, both, I mean, professional athletes, amateur athletes, because they're under so much pressure to perform and to improve. Even our weekend warrior athletes, you know, have challenges between work and family and all that balance. So you developed a very accomplished, you yourself were, you know, a mid-distance runner, very accomplished, and you probably experienced a lot of that firsthand. Talk a little bit about an integrative approach and why you developed a program using this integrative approach.
So I think there's a few questions within questions there. So firstly, Michael, you're absolutely right. The modern athletes have a lot on their plate. So I was fortunate that I kind of finished my degrees and then launched into running more seriously with a bit of personal training. So I didn't have to work too much. But a lot of the clients that I work with, they've got a full-time job, they've got a family, they're not sleeping enough. They're skimping on their meals and not spending enough time there because they just don't have the time, because they're prioritizing their training, and that puts a huge stress load on them. But most athletes don't like the word stress. Hey, I'm not stressed. So, you are really, but hey, I'll go with you here. So I'll change that to you have a high life load.
Right.
Oh yeah, yeah, I guess I do there. So that high life load throws a lot of spanners in the works of well-planned training programs, well-planned nutrition programs as well, because here's an example. An athlete works with a dietitian who puts together a really nice theoretical plan of what he or she should be eating day to day, and then maybe some competition schedules for changing their eating. But because they're under so much stress, and because they're maybe not too mindful about what they're buying or where they're buying it from, they're getting some gut distress. And then the gut's not there for digesting well enough and absorbing well enough. So that theoretical diet isn't supplying those calories, micronutrients that is written down on paper. So we need to be thinking about the athlete as a person. And this is where the integrative approach comes in. Integrative for me, I've got a base from physiology underpinning. So we need to understand how the whole body works together. And then I did nutritional therapy, which has overlaps with things like functional medicine. So I'm interested in not necessarily how many calories they're consuming, although that's part of the story, but how's their gut? How's their immunity? How's their liver detoxification? How's their musculoskeletal system working? How are their neurotransmitters? What else? Their nervous system, their endocrine system. Mm-hmm. So how are they all working, and where's the weak spots? Because everyone nowadays has a weak spot. Mm. So then you can use applied integrative principles to try and improve the health of that body system that's out of balance, which can then hopefully help the athlete achieve firstly health. Mm-hmm. And then my belief is health feeds performance. We need health before we can actually have peak performance.
Interesting.
And you know, he's been doing this for 20 years. You've been on like way ahead of this curve as it relates to athletes, which I find fascinating. And I love that approach because you're right. They are people, right? We just think of them as a machine. We're going to give them this little program, but they are people, right?
Yeah. And it makes me think, too, you coming from a running background, you know, you said everyone has a little bit of a weak spot or maybe several weak spots. Is there something unique about runners? As far as how you approach them from an integrative perspective, do they tend to have a similar kind of couple of weaknesses that are unique to that type of activity?
Right, I'll come back to answer that question in a moment, Michael. But firstly, you have to go, this is what annoys me looking through sports and nutrition textbooks. You've got the person categorized by what sport they do. Mm. Well, you're going to get runners that have gut issues. You're going to get runners that have endocrine issues. You're going to have runners that are just made of steel and, you know, barge their way through anything. Mm. So you have to figure the person out first. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at their biochemistry. You need to look at their physiology. Mm. And that is most important regardless of what sport they do. So that's kind of the foundation. And then, okay, oh, you happen to be a human being that runs as well. Right. Okay, well, let's look at what are the key factors here. So yes, runners have a higher instance of gut issues because we're going boing, boing, boing across the tarmac or across the track.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of aggravation there. So I can eat a good breakfast and go out on my bike for 3 hours, no problem. But when I used to run seriously, it was a very carefully timed episode of what I was eating for breakfast, when I was eating it, and how much time before I could actually start my training session.
Hmm. Yeah.
So gut issues are very prevalent in athletes and runners. So too are endocrine issues. So, you know, the old phrase is adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. Some people don't like the phrase adrenal fatigue now, but I still think it's quite descriptive of, you've got these tiny little adrenal glands sitting on our kidneys. They have to produce cortisol and adrenaline and keep up with our hectic modern lifestyles. On top of these hectic modern lifestyles, we're trying to put in hard training sessions every day. So the adrenals have to do a lot. And runners, because it's quite intense and it's quite prolonged for most of them, unless you're a sprinter, it's a big tax on the neuroendocrine system compared to maybe, I don't want to take away from any other sports here. If you're a games player, it's an intermittent activity. Mm-hmm. Mm. Although if you look at something like American football or rugby here in, you know, in the UK or other parts of the world, they're dealing with hits. You know, getting beaten up every time they play.
Right.
So there's different stressors on every system. And you just have to figure that out with the person that's sitting across from you, really.
Sure. I love that approach. And we see that reflected in our testing when we review, like a GI effects. We'll see a really high SIG A or some intestinal permeability. Or we see some really interesting things on our testing in athletes. Mm. And I love that you're taking all of those things into consideration. And we know that nutrition is just one part of this entire paradigm shift, but it's a big part. You created the Integrative Sports Nutrition Performance Pyramid. I've seen it on your website, and I find it fascinating. Can you talk through the layers of that pyramid approach?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Patty. I've kind of gone through some of this already as we've talked, but the way I set it up was initially three layers. I'm going to start with that, and I'll add in the last layer later.
Okay.
So before I met my wife, actually, it was three layers. Uh-huh. And the top, the little peak was ergogenic aids, which I think you're going to ask me about later as well. Mm-hmm. The middle one is performance nutrition. Mm-hmm. So that's very much standard sports nutrition is often called performance nutrition now, obviously in the context of doing the best you can with your sport, as mm-hmm. opposed to just general participation. And that comes down to, okay, are you eating enough calories, carbs, fats, proteins, what are the needs of your sport, and nutrient timing. Mm-hmm. So the timing of how you bring these things in is very important. So that's the middle layer. The bottom layer that it was, I used to call it integrative nutrition for health. And that's basically what we've just been talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, gut, immune,
yeah,
neuroendocrine, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So looking at taking care of that health of the human being before you actually consider them necessarily as an athlete. Because all these physiological potential imbalances can be compounded in your high achieving athletes. I like the inverted U scenarios that you see in different areas of physiology. So what that basically means is if you can just visualize an inverted U, on the left-hand side of it, it's a low. Mm-hmm. That's for the sedentary folk that have a suboptimal function of whatever we're looking at.
Okay.
Cardiovascular health, immune health, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Energy. As we exercise more, we come up into the top of that inverted U. So mm-hmm. that's kind of considered, quote, moderate. Okay. So moderate exercise is going to be different for everyone. If you're a seasoned athlete, moderate is actually quite severe for other people.
Right.
But then at some point, we start tipping over, slipping down the other side of the U, meaning more exercise means actually your cardiovascular system is coming under more strain, your immune mm-hmm. system is coming under more strain, and we start actually seeing more dis-ease. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you start running your fancy tests, which we call functional laboratory tests, uh-huh. we will see Sige popping out of range with these guys because they're past the optimal.
Right.
So we need to manage that. We need to recognize that they're a human being, but they're a human being with even more strain on their physiology.
Right.
And then I met my wife in 2012, and she's an amazing human being who is into food. So she's now a plant-based chef through the School of Natural Cookery in Colorado, so in your beautiful country.
Yeah.
So she's a senior teacher for them.
Wow.
And through her journey with food, she's not vegan, by the way, as might be inferred by plant-based, but she just wanted to become more creative in the plant.
Hmm.
Putting plants together on the plate, good mm-hmm. vegetables.
Yeah.
So when I met her, I started realizing, I'd always had issues with my own physiology. Gut was my weak link.
Okay.
So I'd always been playing around with my diet to try and just keep my gut happy.
Mm-hmm.
When I met her and her food preparation strategies, I was able to diversify what I was eating. So it really, really came home to me strongly that where you get your food from, so that's food sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
We did an experiment last year as an example. We have Farmer Jim up the road. He's got a local small farm here in Ayrshire uh-huh. in Scotland.
Nice.
And he sells his carrots and beetroots and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So at one point I realized we had Farmer Jim's carrots at the same time as the organic boxes carrots mm-hmm. that uh-huh. comes once a week.
Uh-huh.
At the same time we had the organic carrots out of the local supermarket.
Hmm.
So I did a taste test Ooh. With my whole family. So
yeah.
Rachel Ooh. And the two boys.
Yeah.
Farmer Jim's carrots came out trumps by miles.
Yeah, sure.
Your Farmer Jim.
Oily flavor.
Yeah.
The supermarket organically branded carrots came out with, oh, these don't taste like much.
Wow.
And the organic box scheme that was coming from a field elsewhere in Scotland, they came out medium. So that's sourcing. Just by choosing still carrots or tomatoes or some other produce, but from a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And then how you put it together.
Yeah.
So that's her forte is, cooking techniques to amplify the nutrient density and diversity of what you're putting in your mouth. So many times I'm working with clients who are overachievers and just spending too much time training. And I'll try and trade in with them a bit for less training time and more food preparation and eating time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's my pyramid.
Love it.
Yeah. That makes so much sense. And I feel like, you know, in integrative medicine, functional medicine, we spend a lot of time when we're working with people with complex chronic diseases, we're spending a lot of time working on behavior change from the standpoint of getting them motivated to make positive behavior changes, whether that's exercise or changing their diet. But with athletes, oftentimes they're on the other end, like you said, of that inverted U. And so talk a little bit about how difficult it can be sometimes to convince athletes that they need to rein it in.
Oh, that's a hard question, Michael. But I'll try. You know, it really, really helps if they're broken.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming in, I've got no energy, and my libido's flat, and, you know, my gut's all over the place. Then you're like, okay, have you heard of that thing, LifeLoad? okay, let's look at your training. Your training how much? It depends where they're at. Most of them feel like they're doing the right thing because they've got training from a well-respected coach, and they need to keep soldiering on. But if you can show them the cracks in the machinery there, and also educate them that they're not a machine, then it can help. What can help as well for the skeptics? Well, I'm okay. I just came to you to try and optimize my diet so I can race faster, right? Yeah, but this is what's coming through the health history. The laboratory tests can be very helpful when you can demonstrate to somebody, like I used to do a lot of adrenal stress index tests because they're quite affordable and they give a really nice output of the cortisol, circadian rhythms, and DHEA. So that was sobering to a lot of people who had cortisol in their shoes, but they didn't realize it. Oh, yeah, I thought low libido was normal as a 29-year-old man. It's like, not really, mate.
No.
So that's really useful. And then things like organic acid I like using because it covers so much. And then again, you can start displaying, well, you're a top athlete, but look at all these imbalances. Just think what would happen if your health would improve. Don't you think your performance will jump up a wee bit?
So
that's one side, and then I often have to educate people about this term called periodization. You know, have you heard of a rest day? Have you heard of a easy week? Have you heard of a taper? No, what's that? So then I'll go into kind of coach mode sometimes. And some people get it straight away, and they like the science behind what I'm sharing. Other people are in an addictive cycle.
Wow.
So I saw a lot of that in Johannesburg. Johannesburg's kind of like, it was a city founded on the gold rush. And basically a lot of people are still chasing the gold, but liquid gold. And the personalities are quite hard to work through. So yeah, you need different strategies for different people.
Fascinating.
That does make sense.
Yeah, it does. And I have some other questions to come back to maybe in a second. I wanted to ask about, you mentioned earlier this term ergogenic acids.
AIDS.
I'm sorry, ergogenic aids. And I just wanted to say, so tell me a little bit about what these are for people who haven't even heard this term before.
So ergogenic aids, it's a term that's been around for a long time in the sports medicine, sports nutrition, even coaching fields. And it basically means something that gives a performance edge. So I'll start with the classic ergogenic aids. Caffeine is one that's been really, really well tested over multiple years. If you can take a shot, either an espresso, double, triple espresso, or one of these caffeine capsules, and you're more alert, you might be able to, I put the word might in there carefully because it doesn't always work this way, you might be able to jump a bit higher or sprint a bit faster or just be a more alert in one of these very adaptive sports. Caffeine's also a very good fat burner. So if you're, say, doing a marathon where it really helps that you're burning fat at a higher rate mm-hmm. to spare glycogen, that's been shown to be a very clear ergogenic aid, i.e. by taking this as opposed to not taking it, you should be able to perform better. The other classic one is creatine, which has been researched from about 1990-ish. And that's basically part of your biochemistry for producing ATP energy very, very quickly. So it's just one conversion and then you've got ATP. So it's part of the anaerobic energy system. It's classically researched in the power and strength sports. So for example, if somebody's bench pressing, you know, okay, I have to think in pounds now. Let's say they got 150 pounds on the bar and they're trying to press 10 out. So maybe the 10 is their absolute limit. Loaded up on creatine, they might be able to get 11 out. Mm-hmm. So then it creates a more performance, but a bigger adaptive response between training sessions. So there are your classics. Other things like vitamin D has been considered as an ergogenic aid, but this is more of a basically meaning if you're low in vitamin D and then you supplement on vitamin D, then you should perform better.
Got it.
So that's not a classical ergogenic aid. That's just your athlete is low in these nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You increase their nutrient intakes through food and supplements and they start performing better. So that's more the subtle end of ergogenic aids now. Ergogenic aids is just basically anything that can provide a performance advantage. So it can be correcting deficiencies. It can be taking one of these well-researched ones. Or it could even be just adjusting the aerodynamics on your bike. That's an ergogenic aid strategy as opposed to a food.
Well, where's the line then between an ergogenic aid and a performance enhancing drug, since they're both performance enhancing? Is it one that it's a natural supplement? Where's the line there between the two?
This is a really tough question, Patty, where is the line? And funnily enough, it was 1994. I was in my final year of my undergrad and we had to do this philosophical essay.
Yeah.
And I did it on exactly that.
Yeah.
Where is the line?
We asked the right person.
Yeah. Come to the right place.
It's been a while since I visited it. So the supplement I talked about there was bicarb, sodium bicarb, like we use in cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's another classic ergo. Because it's a buffer, it's an alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
You stick it in the body, it buffers acid. Oh, lactic acid, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I actually used that myself a few times as a middle distance athlete, and I could swear I probably dropped close to a second off my 800 meter time, which is quite significant.
Mm.
So that's an example, but it's completely legal, whereas you know, you step over into, you know, stimulants. What's the difference between caffeine and ephedrine? You know,
right.
That's definitely a philosophical question.
Yeah. Right.
There is a dose effect of caffeine. There's an upper limit there. But ultimately, it's a tough one to answer. It will come down to practicalities in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what what the testers can actually test. So things will come up quite easily.
Got it.
For me, the philosophical conclusion to that essay I wrote in 1994 should come down to health. Let's not take stuff that messes up with our health, because that's surely what us athletes are in it for.
Right.
But unfortunately, not every athlete thinks that way, and they will knowingly step their health out of balance in many cases to get the gain.
Okay, that's fantastic. And it leads me to another question that I had around this subject, which is also, apologies, a kind of a philosophical question. But
here we go.
I tend to think that there are trade-offs in all things, whether we're talking about caffeine or creatine or what have you. And so is it your belief also that, you know, if somebody's taking caffeine to get a little bit of an edge, or if they're taking creatine to get a little bit of an edge, that they're pulling that from somewhere else? You're sacrificing some sort of short-term benefit for some sort of long-term adaptation.
You're bang on, Michael, absolutely bang on. So let me take the caffeine as an example. So, you know, forget the performance realm. Let's say we're just dealing with busy athletes that are drinking a lot of coffee to keep them going through each day. Could be a busy college student who's just like on the go and has to be up early for training and then get through classes and assignments, and they're drinking 6 cups of coffee a day. Why is that bad as a legal food beverage, or beverage rather? Mm-hmm. It's bad because you're stealing from Peter to pay Paul, and actually Peter has to be paid back. And the Peter is the adrenals, as one example in this. So when you take caffeine, you're stimulating an adrenal response. Here's a bit of biochemistry. To stimulate gluconeogenesis, which is the breakdown of fat to mobilize sugars into the bloodstream. And it also can be protein. So if we're overdoing this, we make ourselves catabolic by breaking down some muscle protein in this process. So it's a big time borrow. And if we overdo that, we get ourselves into a catabolic imbalance state. Whereas for an athlete, you need to be staying mostly in an anabolic condition between training sessions. So I hope that example gives you insight there.
That makes perfect sense. And I love this. I love your approach. You know, we appreciate the fact that you're the guy in integrative sports and exercise nutrition. Like, you're the guy. And we know that you're currently writing the definitive textbook, which will likely become the Bible of sports performance, to be released next year. And you also offer extensive training through CISN. Let the audience know where they can find you and what these courses are about. Because here in the U.S., you know, we wouldn't think, like, let's go to Scotland to get training on this. But this is the guy,
everyone. I'd love to. Can I?
This is the guy. So tell the people how to find you and what they'll learn when they go to your website and such.
Firstly, thank you, Patty, for your confidence. that's the goal. We'll write this definitive textbook that takes over the world.
Yes, yes.
I'm a little bit more humble than that. But what I do want to get out of this textbook, and I've got an incredible collaborator, Justin Roberts from Anglia Ruskin University. So he was a practitioner. He's now more of an academic. So we're basically forming this academia practitioner application bridge.
Love it.
So that's the essence of the textbook. Bringing in the integrative viewpoints, health underpinning performance. So trying to leverage away from the over focus on the numbers, mm-hmm. how many calories we're having. This is important. We have a calorie chapter. It's in there.
Yeah.
Grams of carbs, fats, and proteins. Again, important. But if we're just focusing on this, we end up with a beige diet and an ill person over time. Mm. We need color, we need diversity, we need to be very, very highly adaptable as practitioners. Yes, we have theoretical realms of how we can deal with somebody, but every practitioner that deals with an athlete that's really pushing their body recognizes, well, you need to be adaptive to them mm-hmm. and what they need at the time and what will work for them at the time. So these are all the components we're trying to get into the textbook. That's also what I'm trying to get into the courses that I run. So in 2018, I started the Certificate of Integrative Sports Nutrition, which is a in-house course designed for practitioners. It takes about 9 months. It's like once a week we have a meeting. So it's time-wise not too pressurized. It's all online, so you don't need to come to Scotland,
oh,
but it's quite a good idea. I should maybe find a castle and
yes.
a nice venue, and yes. I'll get my wife to cook and yes. teach us about cooking as well, and we can all have a retreat here in Scotland.
I'm in. That's awesome.
But we've also just launched the diploma, the postgraduate diploma in sport and exercise nutrition. I'm adding the word exercise in there now so people aren't just thinking it's elite athletes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's people who move.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a postgraduate diploma, if you don't know, is about 2/3 of a master's degree. And it goes through more of the course content, gets you ready with the research skills before then jumping onto a dissertation if you wanted to do that. And the magic module in this one is called mentoring and case studies. So that's where we're really working on these practitioner skills and how good a practitioner you can be through all the amazing contacts that I've got who can teach for me. Our website is www.intsportsnutrition.com. And from there, you can find all the social media. And we've also got our own podcast, which is called Health Feeds Performance.
Love.
Nice.
Love it.
Nice.
Love it. Well, we're going to link to all of these things
in
the show notes so that the listeners can come find you and blow you up, because we need this impressive training here in the U.S. as well. And I will say this has been awesome talking to you, Ian. We can't thank you enough for spending your time with us. But before we let you go, we do have one last question that I'm going to kick to Michael Chapman.
Yes, I have a silly question to end things called the fireball that's meant to catch you off guard. And I had a couple different ones that popped in my head, but I think this is going to be a good one. So I can imagine, and I'm making some inferences here, that over the course since 2012, your wife has been able to experiment with lots of different types of foods and ingredients and lots of different things. And so what is like the craziest thing that Rachel has put in front of you on a plate, as far as you looked at it and you were like, what in the world am I eating?
Here's the wackiest one. And there's a story behind it. When she was pregnant with her first son, she got bored of steamed broccoli. Uh-huh. Having loved broccoli, and she's like, I know it's really good for me and my son. So she started doing all these adventurous different ways, and we've got a blog somewhere on 6 different ways to prepare broccoli.
Oh, interesting.
And one of them was dipping it in homemade hummus. So there you go.
There you go.
And it works. Our sons grew up dipping broccoli into hummus.
That's good parenting there.
Absolutely.
Well, Ian Craig, this has been a blast, and we can't thank you enough for spending your time with us. And like I said, we're going to link to all your stuff in the show notes so that people can find you. But thanks for chatting with us, Ian.
Yeah, pleasure.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Michael.
That was really good. That was really, it's not actually what I was expecting.
Why?
I think in part because how much he refrained from making blanket statements and always bringing it back to the individual, the personalization, and also that every sport is different and mm-hmm. every person within that sport is different, right?
Yeah.
We can't bucket these things into runners versus football players versus all that
right.
kind of thing we tend to do in our mind.
And we generalize athletes to your bigger point, and they're just people in front of you, right? And without optimal health, how can you get peak performance? So it really starts with that holistic approach, which was great.
You're saying athletes are people?
I'm saying athletes are people, too.
They're not robots?
But
they seem like robots.
They do seem like robots and machines, but they're not. They're actual people.
In a good way, not in a bad way.
In a great way, yeah. But the other piece of this is there's a lot of profundity there, a lot of really important information delivered with a Scottish accent, which never hurts. Whenever you want to add some gravitas to some information, use like a British or a Scottish accent, and it gets me every time.
You're setting me up, Patty. No. I'm not going to do it.
No.
Not going to do
Don't
it.
Don't do it.
But I will do this.
Chappers, what that we're talking about
today?
That doesn't make
any sense.
Oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. Chappers, what we're talking about today?
That doesn't make any sense.
It's all compassion.
That doesn't make any sense.
What are you on about?
Next time on The Lab Report, we're going to talk about this thing.
Urolithin A?
Urolithin A?
What is that?
Urolithin A?
Sounds great.
Urolithin A?
You've been listening to The Lab Report. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and leave us a review. To learn more about Genova Diagnostics, visit our website at gdx.net. There you'll find information on specific testing, educational resources, and how to connect with our show. Call us at 1-800-522-4762 or email us at podcast@gdx.net.
I have a question, if you don't mind.
Oh,
me.
No. This is a personal question.
This is what I do. If you have a minute.
He uses this podcast for his personal gain all the time. He's like, what are you doing,
yeah.
Jeff?
Do I charge him for this?
Yes. Yes. You should. Go ahead,
no,
Michael.
No. So I didn't get the gene. The athlete gene, the like, I need to go out and exercise every single day to feel like my day is complete. But I also, being 42, am struggling to, you know, just stay kind of fit, physically fit, and all those sort of things. And so I bounce back and forth between, I want to do things that I enjoy, like play basketball. So I'll do that every day. I'll go play basketball for 45 minutes or something like that. But then it's not quite keeping me in the shape that I want to. So then I'll be like, all right, now I've got to go and I've got to do all this, you know, heavy lifting and push-ups and get, you know, put on some muscle. And I bounce back and forth. Like, what do you think people like in this arena that are not on the exercise as life type space, what's best for them when they're trying to maintain? Because that's people just kind of come and go and fall off and get on and all that sort of thing.
You've already answered that. So playing something you love, mm-hmm. You know, I despair with the modern commercialization of exercise. Mm. Exercise used to be how we survived.
Right.
You know, moving from one place to another before cars were mm-hmm. the main thing. Mm-hmm. Moving soil around, moving rocks around, called farming.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we don't have that, or not nearly so much. So playing something you love, like basketball, or for somebody else, it could be dancing. That's key. If that can get you out every single day, that's brilliant. Don't stress too much about the other stuff. If you're not feeling muscular enough, throw in I do like the modern research of how much can you get out of a 15-minute workout mm-hmm. between podcasts or between yeah. meetings during the day.
Sure.
You know, you can do a few push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups. That can make a huge difference, but you don't need to drive across town to the gym and sweat with all these other people and then drive home and waste 2 hours of your time. It can be small things. And then basketball should be plenty for the cardiovascular engine. Mm-hmm. And if you're not finding your body's quite tuned enough, then look deeper into your diet, you know, what mm-hmm. you're eating, how clean it is, how balanced it is, regulating blood sugars, diversity, microbiome, you know, yeah. all the yeah. stuff we know.
Yeah, yeah.
All feeds into a healthy, happy body.
Brilliant.
See.
Yeah, thank you. How much do I owe you?
Yeah. Send the bill, Ian. Send the bill.
So don't stress. I think America leads the way with being stressed out with not being on diets or certain exercise. Well, it leads the way with branded exercise and nutrition programs. Mm. We need to lose the brand and just say, okay,
yeah,
what works for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
We do like branding over here, don't
we? We certainly do, right?
Oh, very much.
It's so true.
And you've sent it our way as well.
So. Oh, I apologize.
Sorry about that.
I didn't do it. It was my parents.